You're listening to RNIB Connect Radio. Sexual Health Week takes place from 9th till the 15th of September this year. And today we're going to talk about the importance of this awareness week with Yasmin Winghay Davis and Benny DeMolko from SASH. Now, I feel like we should start with a very important one. So can you explain who SASH are?
SASH stands for Support and Advice on Sexual Health. We are a mental health and holistic service that offers support around sexual health and well-being. We're not a medical service, but we are happy to offer advice around onward referrals if you're seeking sexual health and clinical support and medical advice. But we don't offer on-site testing or anything like that. So if you ever did want mental health and well-being support in regards to your sexual health, then we are your service.
And Yasmin, what is the work you do with SASH?
So actually recently I've had a role change. So currently I am a health and wellbeing coach at SASH, but previously I was a community engagement coordinator. So I can talk a bit more around the community engagement side of things. So community engagement involves going to different community centres, support groups, attending events to advertise SASH's services. We do also have a youth engagement coordinator as well. And they often deliver sessions at high schools and colleges and universities. And part of the community engagement side of things is to deliver workshops around sexual health and well-being. So these topics could touch on STI and HIV awareness, reproductive health awareness, understanding consent. So we do deliver a lot of different workshops. And if people need any one-to-one key working support, then the community engagement team can offer up to 6 sessions for that.
And Benny, what is the work you do with SASH?
I am a sexual health and wellbeing coach. This means I help people achieve their sexual health and relationship goals. This could cover a range of different topics, such as body image issues, confidence and self-esteem, boundaries and consent, and health discussions with partners. The coaching service at SASH also offer key working sessions to people with LD and autism. This takes the format of psychoeducation, building confidence, and also challenging internalized stigma.
So you both have mentioned some of the things you do through SASH, but what other services do you offer?
So there's the community engagement side. So we offer the educational spaces and workshops. Additionally, we do offer counselling services, peer support services, one-to-one peer support, support groups. So we do have, for example, the menopause support group, which we run on a monthly basis. The peer support side also does monthly SASH socials. So anyone who is a part of SASH's services can attend our SASH socials. So we do that once a month, and these are free events. So there was one month we went to Kew Gardens. There was another month we went to Tower Bridge, I think it was. And then we've also gone to a few museums as well. Another side to our service is complementary therapies. So complementary therapies includes acupuncture, shiatsu, and reflexology. Again, you do have to be referred into our service to access any of the complementary therapies. If you do decide to get acupuncture, you can have up to 6 sessions. The same with shiatsu and reflexology.
So that's quite an interesting variety there. And of course, you mentioned the referral with the additional services, but for everything else available, is it available to anyone? And for maybe more one-to-one support or maybe discussing some personal issues, is there any ability for confidentiality?
So our services are available to people age 14 plus, living or studying in the boroughs of Westminster, Kensington and Chelsea, and Hammersmith and Fulham. There is an exception that if someone is a sex worker, they can either live in those boroughs or work in those boroughs to be eligible for our services. Our services are confidential.
If you're referred in maybe by a support group or a centre, then we might inform that centre that you've been referred into our service, but we don't ever tell people why it is that you have been referred in. If we ever do have to breach confidentiality, if you're at risk or if someone else is at risk, then we will have to inform another worker. But we would always inform that person if we do have to let anyone else know. In regards to younger people, we do offer like one-off advice. like I said, we have a youth worker. They deliver the RSE program. So they deliver the sexual education program in different high schools. So we do deliver workshops where the school has been informed that, these students are attending these sessions. But if someone does want one-to-one support and are aged 14 to 18, they can access key working sessions with the youth worker. The most that we might do is inform the school that this student has been referred into our service. Again, we don't discuss the details as to why that person is necessarily seeking key working. If there's a case where we feel like we need to breach confidentiality, it's if that person is at risk or if someone else is at risk.
So, what are some of the common problems or perhaps issues you see people reaching out for support when it comes to sexual health and everything else related to it?
I mean, there are a lot of reasons as to why people reach out for support. Sexual health is a very, very broad area and it can affect different parts of your life. Relationships, managing reproductive health diagnosis like endometriosis. So you might want mental health and well-being support for that. If you've currently or recently been diagnosed with HIV, or if you're seeking community, then that's another reason why some people might refer themselves. We also receive referrals around people wanting to discuss perhaps traumatic experiences, so we can offer counseling support in those cases. Additionally, people might want sexual health and well-being support to discuss their sexuality or even gender identity.
And why do you think mental health and sexual health actually go hand in hand?
Sexual health can have a large impact on your mental health. We briefly just discussed a few topics people can raise when seeking support for our service, and those examples alone show that sexual health and mental health are tightly knitted together. Sexual health can have a large impact on your mental health because it can not only change how you see or navigate relationships, but also how you see yourself. Your experience around body image, self-esteem, putting boundaries in place can play an important role in sexual health, but also in mental health.
What would you like to see change when it comes to our approach here in the UK when it comes to sexual health?
Personally, I would like to see more acceptance of difference. What I mean by this is like people embracing and accepting diverse perspectives and experiences without compromising on safety or pleasure or both. I just want to ensure that everyone feels empowered by their lifestyle choices and experiences and perceptions around well-being and relationships.
Yeah, I mean, I think there are so many barriers around sexual health, around like stigma and shame, embarrassment. Sexual health, it is such a broad area, but it's not just around whether you are sexually active or not. It can be around how you see yourself, so your self-esteem, your confidence. There's so much that goes around your sexual well-being that I think it's important to highlight that sexual health and mental health are so tightly knitted together.
Relationships in general, such a big part of everyone's life, whether you are sexually active or not. So I know you're talking about like these diverse views, and you would like to actually hear from blind and partially sighted people because you are working on a podcast. So can you tell us a little bit more about that?
Accessing support for sexual health can come with like many barriers, whether it be like transportation, misinformation, or previous difficult experiences in healthcare. At SASH, we want to understand how we can make sexual health services more accessible for people who are blind and partially sighted. Our goal is to host a podcast episode looking at people's experience in accessing sexual health services and clinics across the UK and how we might be able to improve access to information. So, if anyone would like to volunteer, please reach out to us through the Royal National Institute of the Blind.
If someone is listening and they would like to find out more about the work Sash do, would you mind giving us some details, perhaps a website address?
Our website is www.sashlondon.org, but you can also get in contact with us through our main office at Wardour Street, and the number for that is 020 7851 2955. 020 7851 2955.
And of course, if you missed any of those details, our email address here at RNAB Connect Radio is radio@rnab.org.uk. Well, Yasmin, Benny, thank you so much for speaking on RNIB Connect Radio and discussing some of the important aspects when it comes to talking about sexual health awareness, mental health, and everything in between.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you.